Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
It's TNR.
Heard you like to party.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I mean, that's not the way human beings act.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
Boy, did Twitter explode.
Now the midget jumps out of the cabinet and stumps the policeman on his toe. The policeman's hopping around on one leg, screaming, son of a bitch, right, runs under the table. He yells, freeze, and dives over the table and lands on the midget.
All right, I'm sorry. I know we were going to do R. Kelly here, but I'm now looking at the list of the fattest NBA players of all time, and I finally saw the pictures of Tractor Trailer. Let's see. Okay, somebody just sent me something here that said that your guy, John,
yeah,
at one point, it says he was listed at 360 pounds.
Yeah.
When he was taken off the suspended list and appeared in his first NBA game. So they have him at 360 at one point.
Yeah. No, Thomas Hamilton was the biggest basketball player I've ever seen in my life.
Okay.
Honestly, you've seen a lot of players come through here and a lot of players play NBA games. Thomas Hamilton is just enormous. An enormous individual.
Okay, here's the top five fattest players that I've seen here in the NBA. So they have Robert Tractor Taylor. He played in the early 2000s for like the Cavaliers and the Hornets, 320 pounds. Okay, Sweetney comes in at number four. And Sweetney, oh my God, they got a picture of him. I guess he played with the Bulls at one point too. 348 pounds. 348 pounds. How tall was he? I don't even know. Eddie Curry?
Yep.
You remember him?
Yeah, he was a first-round draft pick.
350. He weighed 350 pounds. Shaq, I guess at his heaviest, they're saying is 360.
But the Celtics, I believe that.
Yeah. You know what's funny is that like before he got hurt with the Celtics, like he was pretty damn good.
Yeah, he was back in the middle of playing
back
well.
Back with the Suns when he was with...
You're talking about with
who's the Canadian?
Steve Nash. Was he also there at the same time Amari Stoudemire was there? Or was that that was Sean
Stoudemire
Marion Amari Stoudemire.
York, yeah,
but he was like with Nash and like got into shape a little bit. He looked good with the Suns, but then he went to the Cavs and started getting fatter, and then he just completely reached maximum density with the Celtics
for like that month that Shaq played with the Celtics, and it was like the big three and him and Rondo. It was unfair what they were doing. It was just absolutely unfair. And then, of course, everyone knew that he was going to get hurt. But I think they only got him for like $2 million, so it wasn't that big of a deal. Okay, but the number one fattest guy was Oliver Miller.
I remember Oliver Miller.
1992 to the year 2000. Guess how much his peak playing weight was.
380.
You're absolutely right. 380 pounds. Can you imagine being 380 pounds? Like, I actually want to watch this guy
By the way, these are not guys that came out of junior college basketball. All of these guys played for major programs.
Yeah.
I mean, Thomas Hamilton went to Pittsburgh. Oliver Miller, I believe, was Arkansas. I mean, these are guys that played good college basketball.
Jeez, man, 380 pounds.
Yeah, Oliver lost control of his diet after a while.
True. But the thing is he was actually playing when he was 380.
Yes, that's right.
It wasn't like he quit and all of a sudden he blew up.
Mm-hmm.
But that's ridiculous. By the way, Jared Sullinger, only 26. That's the other thing in that article that just kind of blew my mind. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess that he was drafted here, about 5 years ago? And six years ago?
And I say longer because Pierce was still in the league as a Celtic.
Well, he's 26. I mean, was he 20 when they got him? So 6 years ago?
Yeah, that could be. That seems like a lot longer. Right,
by the way, there's a perfect story for Oliver Miller. In 2011, he was arrested for pistol whipping a man at a barbecue.
Give me back my ribs.
How dare you say?
How dare you take the last rack?
Now, who is the athlete, though, that just went from, like, the second they stopped playing, just went, well, blam. like went from like zero to I'm eating.
Antoine Walker.
Well, Antoine Walker.
Antoine Walker's the leader in the clubhouse.
That's a tough one to beat.
He looks like Shaq now.
That's a tough one to beat. All right, who went from zero to eating? Like the minute Walker. They stop playing,
just 617, end the conversation.
And 0-9-0-9-8-5.
Pistol whipping is a crime of passion.
In that case,
and you
it
don't
is.
Do that. Like I could see myself pistol whipping someone overtaking like the last barbecue beans or coleslaw or something. But you're not going to do it over that. But yes, over the meat, absolutely.
All right, 617-779-0985. I just, is there
someone? I do it.
Hell yes,
because
that's done well.
Because that's the first guy I thought of. When you see Antoine Walker on the sidelines, you go, whoa, he looks like someone ate Antoine Walker. And that was a fairly quick switch as well with him. But I mean, I Barkley's always been big, and you know he obviously got bigger. But I'm talking just like it's tough to recognize the guy now. I saw one the other day, and I forget who it was. It was a baseball player. 617-779-0985. We'll get to that. All right. So, man, we got a break. The R. Kelly. I know. It's getting stuck behind.
It happens.
All right. Well, we got to get to this R. Kelly thing, and we'll do that right after CBS Sports Minute. So, R. Kelly, we all know what a strange guy he is. He did that Trapped in the Closet thing, which is basically him rambling for 14, 15 straight songs. There was a story about a midget and Rufus, and then the second Trapped in the Closet was the exact same song over and over again, except he was talking about the package, which ended up being that everyone got AIDS, which is very... then lately he's been accused of running a sex cult where he's got prisoners, women who are prisoners at his house, and all of these articles have been written about how he wouldn't let women leave his house. So he came out with a 19-minute long song because only R. Kelly would do that. And he essentially just admits that all of it's true. So we will play some of that right after the CBS Sports Minute with Boomer Esiason, brought to you by South Shore Bank.
Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, it's Toucher and Rich. We got Hardy in this morning, and R. Kelly is a maniac. We know that. And he's a guy that has had a lot of issues in the past as far as things he's been accused of. But one thing he's never been accused of is not being able to make something sexy out of nothing. He was asked one time, they said, hey, can you make even being a dolphin sexy? And he answered during a radio interview this.
I want to be a dolphin to you. Going going
So what happens when you get somebody who is been accused of some pretty insane stuff, and he's also a borderline madman? You get a 19-minute long song called I Admit. Now, if you aren't aware of some of the things he's been accused of in his past, back in 94 when he was 27 years old, he reportedly married Aaliyah, who was 15 years old at the time. Now, the marriage was annulled after Aaliyah's family found out about it. On top of that, there were some cases that were settled out of court. Others that he was indicted on child pornography charges for videotaping himself with an underage girl. Apparently, in 2002, the case went to trial and he was acquitted. And now there were these very strange things that, like, stories about how he has, like, a harem at his home, and there is he has slaves.
It was a sex cult, I believe is the phrase that they like to use.
Where apparently he branded a lot of them. Now, branding being like with an iron?
You mean
to
like
mark them?
You mean like the Gronkowski brand? You mean like the Brady brand? No, is that what we're talking about?
I believe it's with an actual iron brand.
Oh, that's different.
He would do that. And there's this one reporter who's been writing stories about him, like trying to take him down for years. And by the way, in the 19 minutes, I did not include him there. He just starts going off on this reporter.
Good.
So I mean, it's 19 minutes of him just like talking about everything. On top of that, they said that at one point there's a radio host named Wendy Williams that he just sat down one time and they drank a lot and he admitted everything to her. And she came out and just basically spilled all the beans. So, I have basically edited this down to just the best parts. So let's go ahead and take a listen to a little bit of R. Kelly, a guy who could be certifiable, with his song, I Admit.
I admit it, I did it. I admit I got so many flaws. Told so many lies to these frauds. Blew so much money, pop so many bottles. Yeah, I f*** a bitch just because. I admit I can't spell for s***. I admit that all I hear is hits.
I admit I couldn't read the teleprompter when the Grammys asked me to present. Won't say no names, I'm not a snitch. But one night at the Ritz, I did some shit I shouldn't have did. When it f***ed a I admit that I did. I f***ed my girlfriend's best friend. Yeah, I tapped that in back of my Benz. I admit I'm sorry for my sins.
Okay, all right. So up to this point, you know, there's some pretty embarrassing stuff in there, obviously. As I was saying, there's a conversation he's going to have with his friend.
There's some embarrassing / bragging stuff in there.
Sure. Yes. Yeah. It was back in the Benz.
I admitted that I had sex with my girlfriend in the back of my Mercedes.
Yeah, that's right.
Just so you know.
You're right. He is doing a little, it's like a humble brag.
Yeah, exactly.
The ultimate arc. Kelly humble brag, right. And then he can't read, or he has a hard time reading. Okay, so that's something that's slightly embarrassing, but really nothing criminal yet.
He had trouble with the prompter. Is that the same as being illiterate?
I think that he expands on it in the song.
Plenty of time.
Yeah, he can't. Yeah. 19 minutes, he talks about a lot, so.
I admit I'm sorry for my sins. I admit I f***ed all the ladies. That's both older and young ladies. But tell me how they call it pedophile because of that. That's crazy.
Okay, all right.
Arcane laws.
That's when anybody who works in law enforcement, their ears are starting to perk up going, this might be introduced as evidence at some point in some sort of lawsuit. As I was saying yesterday,
in some kind of proceeding where the prosecution's case would last precisely 19 minutes,
yeah.
We just play the song and at the end of it and say, the prosecution arrested.
Prosecution arrested, and you have been found guilty on 19 minutes worth of charges.
Yes.
I mean, this is something that obviously he could probably say, well, you know, I was playing a character in this song. It's a song. It's not truly a confession. However, I think he is all but admitting right now, like all over the internet, that all of this is true. So maybe it will be held against him, but he continues.
But tell me how they call it pedophile because of that. That's crazy. You may have your opinions, entitled to your opinions. But really, am I supposed to go to jail or lose my career because your opinion?
Or it's a law. I mean, you know, opinion law. They're really all kind of the same. It's my opinion you shouldn't murder somebody.
Well, I'm not a legal scholar, but I seem to remember reading like certain Supreme Court decisions where the justice issues their opinion.
Sure.
So sometimes the opinion can, in fact, have binding ramifications.
Yeah, right. It could. Right. So maybe he's got a point there. Maybe he has a point.
Okay.
Now Wendy Williams mad with me, but I ain't never offer her no drink. Then we both turned off our phones. We drink, I smoke, we talk. And I admit that I told it all. From my good points to my faults. She said, what about a Lee? I said, love. She said, what about the tape? I said, hush.
Okay. Alright. Okay.
Now Aaliyah is the underage girl.
Yeah, she's a 15-year-old that he like married, and he goes, "Well, it was love."
What love? What about the tape?
Hush. The tape of him. Alleged. I mean, this is bad. This is bad for him, man.
Is she the one who is being interviewed and through a vague threat at the lawyer interviewing him?
What is that?
I remember. I thought it was him where they accused him of something. They had him in a courtroom or they were deposing him in front of the grand jury. And he.
No, that's Lil Wayne.
That's Lil Wayne?
That's my fault. That's Lil Wayne.
Okay.
Right. Where he's kind of like threatening him, like if you go out in the streets.
My fault. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That is not R. Kelly. So he asked me about the tape. I said, hush. Don't tell no one.
Oh, boy, this is bad.
So this speaks to when Wendy Williams sat down with him,
yep.
And they did an interview, and then they did an off-camera turn-off, you know, and we're just going to sit here and talk. And Wendy Williams has said since then that I will take a lot of what he said to my grave in terms of, like, what they discussed that night. I'm like,
yeah.
Well, that's great, Wendy. It is your job to bring this stuff into
right,
the light.
He's a criminal.
Yeah, he's
doing this stuff. Maybe you should tell the world.
You're a talk show host where you know, it is your job to get people to talk about things so that the world knows about them. It's like, no, not with R. Kelly. This is hallowed ground.
Well, now she might be called to a stand as well.
She said, what about a Lee? I said, love. She said, what about the tape? I said, hush. I said, my lawyer said, don't say nothing. But I can tell you I've been set up. I admit I am not perfect. I never said I was perfect. Say I'm abusing these women. What the f***
That's some absurd. They brainwashed. Really? Kidnapped. Really? Can't eat. Really? Real talk. That sounds silly. And if you really, really wanna know, her father dropped her off in my show and told his boy to put her on the stage. I admit that she was overage.
Okay. So, now he's saying that there is a woman that some father dropped off.
Yes.
And said, here you go. Go hook up with R. Kelly. Is that what he's saying now? So if you want to know, this is another girl. I don't know what this is all about.
Interesting.
All right, let's let him continue.
And if you really, really want to know, her father dropped her off in my show and told his boy to put her on the stage. I admit that she was overage. I admit that I was feeling her, and I admit that she was feeling me. I admit that that's just to come with being a celebrity. I admit that this is no disrespect to the parents, but this is my advice to you, cause I'm also a parent. Don't push your daughter in my face and tell me that it's okay.
Stop. So now it's the parents.
Well, now he's making some good points. First of all, this is what comes with being a celebrity, because this same thing happened to Adele a couple of months ago. But nobody talks about that.
Right.
Some guy dropped his teenage son off, you know?
I know some bad things might have happened with this girl. It's the parents' fault for dropping her off at my show. They should have known better.
What am I supposed to do?
I do horrible things with women. Dad should know better.
Yeah.
But this is my advice to you, because I'm also a parent. Don't push your daughter in my face and tell me that it's okay. Because your agenda is to get paid and get mad when it don't go your way. What's the definition of a cult? What's the definition of a sex slave? Go to the dictionary, look it up. Let me know, I'll be here waiting. Now I admit I got some girls that love me to pull their hair. And I admit they love me to talk dirty when I pull their hair. Yeah. Some like me to spank them, some like to get brainy. And what some of these girls want is too much for the radio station.
Okay, so he's just saying, they wanted to get branded.
Wow.
He says, now I admit that they love me to talk dirty when I pull their hair. Some like me to spank them, and some like to give brain. And
no. It's branded. I've seen
it sounded like branded.
Yeah.
Looking at the lyrics over there?
I am looking at the lyrics. Okay. Yeah, what some of these girls want is too much for the radio station.
It's like, hey, what's the definition of a cult anyway? Oh, wait. Well, I think it's fairly easy to find.
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
You can just go to dictionary.com.
Isn't the very fact that you're being accused of running a cult, a sex cult, or keeping sex slaves, it's like, well, define cult.
Well, I think what you're doing. Let's get real quick. Dennis, line one. What's up, Dennis? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, I was listening to Sirius Radio yesterday, and evidently, like, his wife or his ex-wife has a rebuttal song. It's just lyrics. They don't have any. She didn't lay down any music to it. Oh. But it's like, yeah, you beat the hell out of me. You don't pay attention to your kids. You can't even FaceTime them. Like, you're not a parent. Like, you're a deadbeat dad. She says some really.
But she
like,
doesn't sing it. Is it like? Yeah. Is it Tom Waits? I mean, what is it? What does it sound like? Is it just?
She released a new song.
It's called, just spoken word.
She released a song. It's called A Summons. Just read this and put a melody to it.
Time Magazine, by the way, Rich. If you want, just very quickly, Time Magazine sat down with a lawyer and had her listen to it.
Okay. Well, I want to hear what they have to say, because there's a couple last things on this that we'll get to. By the way, call 617-779-0985. We will get to it right after John walks out lines.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. I didn't realize that nearly dead Nick already left. So he's gone for the day. So he came in not knowing there was going to be Mason was going to be here as well.
Little schedule snafu.
Okay. Oh.
I think it was on Nick's behalf. But then you know what Mike just said when he just within the last 5 minutes that today's Nick's birthday and nobody wished him
today's Nick's birthday.
I had no idea.
No, thank you, and no one wished him a happy birthday. So happy birthday, Nick!
Aww.
Happy birthday!
Today's Nick's birthday.
Never thought you'd live to see today. 33 or whatever.
I had, you know what?
That's nearly dead Nick made it to almost 33.
Oh, damn shame, because this is my last day here. Fred's back tomorrow, and I don't know who's in, but you're in tomorrow.
Yeah, we're okay. Fred and I
tomorrow's
for the first
the one
time
day
forever. And then I go to Video Game of Palooza over in Brooklyn.
But I had all these questions for Nick. The most, I guess, pressing one would be like, if he took a shot to the chest right now, say from somebody who could inflict, like Mike Lockhart, if Mike Lockhart were to punch him in the middle of the chest right now, would it kill him?
Would it be like the end of Kill Bill, where his heart would just explode, he'd fall to the ground?
Right. And could we try it?
It could be a bit.
Yeah.
We could do that.
Stunt boy.
I didn't realize it was his birthday. I feel like an a-hole now. But then again,
happy birthday, Nick.
But guys don't keep track of other people's birthdays.
Not really.
I would have at least gotten something together for him. Is he in tomorrow, Dan? Dan, is he in tomorrow? Do you know?
I don't think so. He's not. Tomorrow's supposed to be a bird day, and Friday is supposed to be a bird day.
All right. Well, we'll have to do something for him. In the meanwhile, we have R. Kelly to deal with, who once again came out with a 19-minute long song where he's essentially just confessing all the stuff he's been accused of. And it's some pretty awful stuff. And Hardy, you said that you read that a lawyer listened to this and they said, could this be used against him in court? Is that right?
Not real. That's not exactly what she said. But essentially, Time Magazine sat down with a criminal defense attorney and says, while the lyrics as a whole don't point to any criminal wrongdoing, Julie Rendleman says the song could be used to cross-examine the singer if he were ever put on trial. But there are no charges against him right now. So it's tough to say whether or not a judge would find the lyrics relevant should he come to trial in the future, which he almost certainly will be.
Okay, so what we've heard so far is that he admits that he can't read. He has hooked up with one of his best friend's girls in the back of his bands, and then it got weird. And then he started talking about why do they call it pedophilia, and that tape with Aaliyah, Hush, he told Wendy Williams. And then he said, if you don't want things to happen to your daughter, don't come and bring them to my show. And we continue.
What's the definition of a cult? What's the definition of a sex slave? Go to the dictionary, look it up. Let me know, I'll be here waiting.
Sorry.
I admit I got some girls that love me to pull their hair. And I admit they love me to talk dirty when I pull their hair. Yeah. Some like me to spank them. Some like to get brain. And what some of these girls want is too much for the radio station. Look, I'm just a man, y'all. Not a monster or beast. But I admit there are times when these girls so fine, I'll chill in a for a week. I was told I had to sell my cars. I was told I couldn't get a loan. Said I owed $20 million to the IRS and they was coming to get my home. I admit I was feeling stupid standing in the Homewood Suites.
Okay. No disrespect to the Homewood Suites.
Right.
I don't want to offend the Homewood Suites.
Out of all the people could possibly offend it,
Jesus.
Homewood Suites, really a fine establishment. I don't want to end up in any kind of slander case here.
Holy moly.
Against Homewood Suites, because that's real trouble.
I mean, they were really nice to me. I mean, I got a free breakfast in the morning. It was great. I had my own little desk. No disrespect. There's a little, they put a little rubber ducky on your bath.
Don't want to show up. I don't want to get out of line in this song, so I'm going to say no disrespect.
And of all the things he's talking about,
Homewood Suites.
The one person he wants to be able to say, the one company, no disrespect to Homewood Suites. You did me a solid during these hard times where I owe $20 million to the IRS. He goes off about how broke he is. He's got no money. And he yells at all of his managers and yells at all the record labels. And he says that he goes on tour just so he can pay his rent, but he's flat broke, according to the song.
Owe $20 million to the IRS and they was coming to get my home. I admit I was feeling stupid standing in the Homewood Suites. Sipping Hennessy trying to figure out what happened to me. Bitch, you know who you are. Bitch, I bought you a car. Bitch, you stayed at my crib. I loved you with all my heart.
Sounds like it. I mean, if that ain't love. Did he say, bitch, I love you with all my heart?
Yes.
That's a Hallmark card waiting to happen.
those three lines, dot, 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 after each one.
Sure, that's the surprise when you open it up.
Yeah.
Bitch, I bought you a car. Bitch, I let you stay at my house. Bitch, you know who you are. And then when you open it up, bitch, I love you with all my heart.
Well, yeah.
And then, you know, it's just, it's got like, you know, the little thing of hearts all around it. Happy anniversary.
That pops out. My heart, and it's a big cardboard heart that comes out of the middle. It's a 3D card.
That's what you should do. You should write greeting cards. This is like poetry. Somebody call Hallmark.
Now, I don't like to brag when it comes to me, but I've given back to the community. From the nonprofits to the charities, but of course you never hear that about me. Since we're doing some shit, cost a man his whole career. Found guilty when you're innocent, that's the only test I fear. There is one thing that's for sure, and I want to make this clear. I left my voice and represented my country for 31 years. Damn it, I admit.
You represented our country?
I didn't know he served.
I mean, listen, I guess I didn't really have a military background.
Thank you for your service, R. Kelly. I didn't know.
That's okay. Everything you did beforehand that you admitted, the fact that you ended up serving our country apparently for 31 years is amazing.
I mean, that is, I've never heard anything like that. It's a man who's, either he's so unbelievably smart that we just can't comprehend this, or his brain exploded. And somewhere between ignition and trapped in the closet, he just is, he went mental. He went, he lost his absolute mind.
Wallach is a man, I believe, same age as Robert Kelly.
Yes.
R. Kelly. Yeah.
Yes.
He's 70?
51.
Wow.
R. Kelly's 51. Do you find you
at least
have,
I have some cash.
Do you find that you still have the same urges and the same libido and the same, I mean, this is all consuming for him still.
Hell yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. I totally identify with that.
Yeah, you
sure.
Do.
Really?
Of course.
If I was packing what you're packing, I'd feel the same way.
We've seen the photos.
That's right.
So have the listeners. You know?
That's not a plea. Don't be kidded. Led down the false narrative.
Well, I mean, listen, you were a big like hip-hop and early, you know, sure. 90s R&B type of guy.
And that it comes naturally with that kind of thing.
So you just, at times, do you wish that you had the kind of lifestyle that he had?
No.
All right, if you had that kind of, like, celebrity, would you have, like, a harem at your house?
After a while, Rich, you had to keep reminding yourself you must only use this power for good. You know what I'm saying?
You know, that's what they call Wallach's sex slave house is Wally World.
Sorry.
Cool sort of
Wally, 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 Wally,
World. That's right.
That's right.
I think there's already a song about that, I believe. But yeah,
about Wallach's harem, his compound, the Wallach sex compound.
Right.
It's called Wally World.
Yeah, they call it Walmart, you know?
Man, forget going to the club to meet something new. When I want meet something new, I go get me a basket, and I go walk around Walmart. All the women being Walmart, you hear?
Dreams,
come on, Walmart.
I'm going to Walmart. She going to Walmart. They Walmart. Be at Walmart.
Where's she going?
We going to Wally World. Walmart. She going to Walmart.
One of the all-time greatest music videos. It's just a guy walking around Walmart and filming women, and they're bouncing up and down. It's a good song. Yeah. Not a lot to it. Okay.
Basket.
How does one make grocery? Is that like buying groceries? You're making groceries?
Sure.
Okay.
I think that's like the
Louisiana purchase card.
Yeah, I think.
She got Louisiana purchase card. Yeah, she in that lingerie section.
Okay, that's kind of gross.
She in that lingerie section.
That's not very good.
She in that lingerie
section. So he said R. Kelly spent as much time in the military as Sarge has.
the attorney, by the way, did say if an individual makes claim that he raped them and they were a fan of his.
Sorry.
He admits in his lyrics he had sex with his fans. There's an argument to be made those lyrics are admissible. So the song, I admit, yeah, could have some legal ramifications.
What is she buying? I think that's where we end the song. Okay, all right. I think that's kind of... Good image this morning. All right, 617-779-0985. That is unbelievable. That is one of the strangest things I've ever heard. But then again, it's from R. Kelly, so of course it is. All right, speaking of one of the strangest things I've ever heard, Bill Belichick is texting Jimmy Garoppolo after every one of his games. And according to someone who was interviewed for Sports Illustrated, the quote was, he really, really likes Jimmy Garoppolo. We will get into this strange dynamic. On top of that, at 8:30, Bill Belichick talks to the press for the first time this NFL season. We will carry that live right here on Toucher and Rich.
98.5. Toucher and Rich. Miss Toucher and Rich.
Oh, boy, well.
Or Felger and Maz.
That is an insult.
Listen to the podcasts on the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
30 seconds until kickoff on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network, and surprisingly, no one has seen Bill Belichick.
This is crazy, Bob. I mean, he's the first guy that's always on the field, ready to go. First guy to have his team ready. And oh my God, what the hell is that?
All the lights have just gone off in Gillette Stadium. Wait a minute. There's now one lone spotlight shining on an older gentleman who looks to be dressed as Superman. He's now sliding down some zipline from the 300 section as Living on a Prayer begins to play over the loudspeakers.
It's like Richie Sambora. Look out, Bob. It looks like Bill Belichick has got Bon Jovi.
Unreal. Bill has now landed onto a stage with exploding pyro and smoke. Gigantic letters behind him flashing, Kiss My Ring. Get to crack a smile.
This is great, Bob Belichick. Play some Sugar on Me.
Oh, Zolak. 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. Listen on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. And take us everywhere you go. Also, listen to Homer in your office on your smart speaker. Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub. And it should do that. And that gentleman right there, Mr. Kiss My Rings, Bon Jovi-obsessed gentleman, Bill Belichick, will speak to the media for the first time this NFL season at 8:30. We are going to carry that live. And, Hardy, if you could give Bill Belichick truth serum, and have him like answer any question truthfully. If he was the most un-Belichick human being possible, and instead of doing the deflections that he does, and the grunts and the snorts and dismisses anything that comes his way, what questions would you ask him this morning?
There's only one, and it's not Deflategate, it's not Spygate, it's because I think I know the answers to all those questions.
Sure.
And the only thing I want to know is, why didn't you play Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl? That's my grassy knoll. That's my Jimmy Hoffa. That's my Amelia Earhart. That's the only thing I want to know. And what really now is starting to bug me about this again is I'm hearing the narrative switch over. And I heard Felger and Maz talking about this yesterday. And it was Felger and Murray, I think, who agreed on this point that, you know what? The more I think about it, I don't think there was a reason. I think he just showed up that morning and decided that he wasn't going to play Malcolm Butler, and he just sat him benched him for the entire game and only put him in for one special teams play. And I said, now you've lost your mind.
Sure.
You've absolutely lost your mind. You think that a guy played 98% of the defensive snaps going into the game that Belichick just decided on a whim, out of pure whimsy, that he wasn't going to play one of his two starting corners for the entire game when one stop could have changed the outcome of that game. You just arbitrarily thought, nah, not today. Or how not going to play him in this game?
How about a Coach Hardy that is known for making the best halftime adjustments in the game? So even if that was the case, and let's say that, you know, for some strange reason on a whim, because I don't want to play him at halftime, when you saw how much your defense was getting lit up, that would be a moment where you would think Bill Belichick, as he's known to do, would make a change. And at least he would put him in at that point. So that opinion is ridiculous. You know what it is? It's that there's been so much rhetoric and so much stuff that's been thrown out there and like football reasons stuff. I think we're being gaslighted. I think that at some point there's so much noise that you just kind of go, all right, whatever you say, and you go along with it. And you're right. He's not going to answer it this morning. I would like someone to ask because it's fun. I like hearing his reaction to questions like
that. I don't think anyone's going to ask this morning.
Is Shaughnessy going down there today? Because, okay.
He was on with the midday show yesterday, and I didn't hear whether or not they asked him.
Okay. Because Shaughnessy, there's only a couple people that will go in there and ask legitimate follow-up questions.
Bert Breer.
Well, Bert was great. Well, I mean, they have a track record of there being a headbutting with Bert Breer, which is good. But, I mean, that's the one thing about Dan Shaughnessy. You can say about it, he doesn't care. He doesn't care. I honestly think that a lot of the beat writers are somewhat afraid of Bill Belichick, or they have relationships with him and they don't want to upset him one way or the other. There's some that are fair, but there's some that I think that are legitimately afraid. I think that if you got Shaughnessy in there to just not let him back down, just to hear him at some point get so frustrated that at least maybe he'll like snap and it'll be entertaining for us.
Sure.
But he's not going to answer it. But you're right. However, that is not the first question I would ask him if he was given truth serum. No, it would be, do you have a tattoo? And is it the Superman logo? And did you, if you could trade places with anyone in the world, would it be Jon Bon Jovi? Because I think that then you would...
That's three questions.
Well, I would ask him several. If you got the truth serum, how long does that stuff last? At least for a press conference.
It's really the only thing I want to know from Belichick, because, I like I said, the other stuff, I know the answer to.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, you know, deflate. Yes, of course. They did it. You know, it's whatever. You can't prove it. That doesn't mean it didn't happen. Of course, yes. Doing whatever they could in terms of picking up information about other teams. Yes. Mm-hmm. All teams do. These are things that all teams do to some extent. That doesn't interest me anymore. What interests me, I want to know not what Malcolm Butler thinks. It was your decision. Why didn't you play him?
Yep.
Just why?
That's
And not just to satisfy my own curiosity, but If fans deserve anything other than just, you know, watching the game, and I think you kind of do. I think you're owed a little tiny something from the team every once in a while beyond just, you know, rolling out the balls and playing the game. That's one thing that the entire fan base is owed, is an explanation on that one point.
All right, we'll take your call, 617-779-0985. No commercials.